Wendy Snyder sitting in for Bob Surratt. And you know what? It is time to say hello to Anna DeVlantis with one of my favorite segments, This Week in Chicago History, sponsored by Visit UIHealth.care. That's it. That is confusing to me.
You got it.
I know. It takes me a while. Anna, I love this segment. When I'm listening to Bob, you do such a good job,
Wendy,
with it.
I have so much fun with it, and I know you love our city and you love the history. Bob does too. It's actually really fun to dig into these and sometimes find things that, you know, we don't always expect, you know, and things that even I stump Bob sometimes, which is my life's dream and desire to try to do. He's like, I didn't know that. I'm like, yes, there's something Bob didn't know about the history of Chicago. But this morning we're starting with Mrs. O'Leary, and this is an interesting one, and her cow. This week, Wendy, 1997. Officially, she was exonerated 126 years after the Great Chicago Fire. The City Council Committee on Fire and Police adopted a resolution at that time. They exonerated Catherine O'Leary and her cow of all blame for starting the devastating fire that leveled our city. And it was a long time coming, because if you dig into the history books on this, generations of O'Leary descendants tried to defend her and clear her name. She was shunned. She was an outcast and scorned by people all across the city, you know, who pinned this tragedy on her. You know, they blamed her as negligent and careless. And the problem was, it just wasn't true. There's no credible evidence that that this woman milking her cow in her barn kicked over the lantern in the shed and all that stuff that started the fire. That's how the folklore goes, but it took a lot to try to reverse all that. The fire is believed to have started in the O'Leary barn on DeCoven on the west side over there, where they have the fire academy today. But Mrs. O'Leary, you know, this Irish immigrant, became like this easy scapegoat. And the first reporter, one of the first on the scene, later admitted that he made up the story about O'Leary, the first story about her and the cow causing it, that just took off, like spread faster almost than the Chicago fire. That story became the truth, you know. And she was hauled downtown to court to defend herself against serious criminal charges. You know, if you think about it, Wendy, nearly 300 people died in the Great Chicago Fire. A third of the city was homeless. Countless people had just lost everything, and they had somebody to pin it on. So imagine how she was treated at that time. We pulled a clip here. I think you'll appreciate, Wendy, a WTTW documentary on the fire, which is awesome if anyone wants to go watch it at some point. It's online, YouTube. Mrs. O'Leary's descendants spoke about the tragic way the city persecuted her and the impact it had.
Ah, that's great.
Yeah. It is great that she, you know, the resolution finally came. It was a long time coming, and it passed unanimously this week, 1997, signed by Mayor Daley himself. So at least the residents, the relatives felt like they had cleared her name.
Well, let's talk about the Bears, the Bulls.
You had to have interviewed George Wendt over the years, haven't you, Wendy?
Yes.
Have you met him, whatever? Yeah.
I think over the phone. Just loved Norm.
I know. It's like you think about, okay, so this is the week of his birth, the late George Wendt, born October 17th, 1948, in the Beverly neighborhood. One of nine children, by the way. And you always got the sense, Wendy, didn't you, that George Wendt was the guy who you saw sometimes. Like, he was this down-to-earth Chicago guy who was true to his roots. And you know, huge star, even after he was a huge star as Norm on Cheers and had achieved so many things in Hollywood, those blue-collar Southside roots always seemed to come out, you know, whenever you saw interviews with him. Or I know I've heard from others who have interviewed him over the years, and it became central to a lot of the characters he played. I always smile. I know everyone loves him from Norm and Cheers. People remember even from Second City Days, perhaps, or all of his other roles in Hollywood. But the George Wendt from the SNL Bears super fans, I cannot watch that without cracking up to this day. I just, you know, I mean, he was Bob, you know, Bill's brother for the Bill Swirsky's super fans, and he'd step in to be moderator when Bill couldn't do it any longer to talk about the Bears and the Bulls, and just so beautiful. We pulled a clip here.
I love it. And he is the uncle of Jason Sudeikis. You know that, right?
Oh my gosh, I did not.
Yes,
his amazing connection.
His sister is Jason Sudeikis's mom. So interesting. Ah, throwing it back at you, Mr. Vlantis.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Maybe we could stump Bob with that at some point. I'd love to. Finally, just got one more for you, Wendy, here. Bad boy Dennis Rodman joined the Bulls this week, 1995. Who can forget this? Rodman was like the bad boy of the NBA. It was a real chance. That they took, you know, Jerry Krause and Phil Jackson, because he had just been messing up a lot. You know, he was great on the court. He was the most amazing defender, like defense guy, and they wanted this defensive weapon of their dreams, but they didn't want the nightmare that was Dennis Rodman off the court. But it turned out to be pretty well, go obviously very well. Phil Jackson just had this magic touch with Rodman somehow. You know, he had been refusing to play. He wasn't showing up to practice before he joined the Bulls. He actually sat down in the middle of a playoff game and took off his shoes and refused to play. You know, like, remember all these things? And then he had this erratic off-the-court lifestyle. So
married,
you know,
Madonna, didn't he? Or
married Madonna?
Yeah.
Married himself.
Yeah.
You know, so lots of fun times that we remember with Dennis Rodman. But, you know, it worked out pretty darn well.
It sure did.
With the Bulls.
Anna, always a pleasure talking to you. Keep it up with good work.
Thank you, Wendy.